Okay, here we go. This morning, the notes are online. There's a lot of notes there, but we just kind of looked at the choices we have to follow. Who do we follow? And we have to admit that we're not the greatest Paul followers because we're probably good at compromising to keep things going in our lives. We're living in such a perverted and crooked world, as it says there, that if you're to be walking around totally clean, I don't know, we're supposed to be. We are totally clean on the inside, but everything from what we wear to how we talk to how we behave as women and how we behave and talk and look and dress as men and how we deal with things. The world is such a feminated world that man, honest to goodness, man wouldn't even fit in anyway. And it's an interesting thing. It's kind of interesting for us, for me, to live out here where we do because there's cowboys out here just south of town on the ranches out here. They've got the good old-fashioned range-riding, chap-wearing, living out in the country cowboys. Got the, what do they call that, the barracks or whatever, the cowhand house or whatever. Just 100% cowboy territory out here. So there's a lot of hard-working people here that don't like the way America's gone. But then again, as I talk with a few that I talk with so far, they're just caught up in modern religion. They have a religion. They got a church. They got a denomination. They've got a God that they sort of kind of believe in, but it's just totally the unknown God. They have no idea. I hope someday that we can, maybe God would use us to show somebody something here. But we talked this morning about maybe you follow yourself, which is not a good idea. The scripture verses are there. The God of this world, or maybe even following a Jew or Jewish teachings. Maybe you're going to follow the Great Commission, which is the Jewish Jesus, the one that they get when they get born again as such, as they follow that Jesus. And Paul warns about another Jesus. Then we look at the verses that are online there, of course, so the verses were there to follow Paul. But we talk mostly of the fact that the other person, a lot of people are starting to follow, and we're all being tempted. We're all wanting to quit. We're all wanting to fizzle back or quit fighting some of the battles, or you give in, fight another battle or whatever, which doesn't do your testimony a whole lot of good. You don't fight all the battles to me. It's like all the battles should be fought, but in some cases you can't do that because, I don't know. The other person to follow is Demas. He's the one that forsook Paul. And it doesn't say he forsook the Lord. He just forsook Paul. He wasn't hanging around Paul anymore. And in order to be a Demas follower, you've got to have followed Paul. You've got to learn what Paul has to teach. You have to learn a little bit of what the risen Savior's done for you. And then you bag it. Because, see, then you get yourself saved and you get your soul clean. And then you go back and love this present world, as Demas did. And there's a lot of that. And there's more of that taking place every day. And I'm afraid anybody listening to this evening, myself included, or anybody out there anywhere, it's very easy to become a Demas. In some cases, maybe we are following Demas in somewhat, because this world, this present world, is it's so powerful anymore that it pulls us that way. So we just looked at some verses that talked about, okay, if you're a Demas follower, then you still don't have to worry about God's chastisement. Don't have to worry about vengeance from God. You probably get some of your friends back, and there's going to be little, if any, opposition anymore. Why not follow Demas? Well, it's wrong, for one thing. And you can either take the opposition and take the persecution now and be rewarded in the judgment seat, or you can follow the world, and you can get rid of that opposition and lose your rewards and have that hassle and then the shock and the disappointment at your judgment seat. So either you pay now or you pay later. So we don't ever get away with anything. Even as a person whose soul is clean, our works are still going to be judged. What you're wearing right now, as a woman or a man, is it pleasing God or not? What you're doing after church tonight, will it please God or will it not? And all we can say is, well, I guess it'll burn up in the judgment seat. I know, but that was pretty disappointing still. Plus the testimony we have, it's a battle we're going to fight all the time. Things are lawful. Then I went down a whole bunch of things. If you want to follow Demas, here's some hints. Be a brawler. Speak evil of people. Speak evil, period. I mean, just, go for it. Don't worry about what comes out of your mouth anymore. Be tough again. Jump into those arguments with foolish questions. You know, some of those people with foolish questions, when you go into Demas, they start making sense to you. They're wrong, but they start to make sense to you. Hang around a few heretics. They're still nice people. Just because somebody's a heretic doesn't mean he's a bad person. They've probably got a good job, successful, a lot of wisdom, a lot of friendship to them, a lot of grace probably to those people, but they're still wrong. We're supposed to turn away from them. Anyway, older ladies, quit feeling guilty. You're not teaching the young girls anything proper. How to teach them how to love their children, but how you love yours. Remember, love is not just putting up with everything. It's rebuking and reproving when the time comes. True love is to speak the truth. How many speak the truth to their children? Oh, anyway. Examples of take a few drinks, don't worry about teaching good things, times have changed, don't worry about being discreet, chase keepers at home. You know, just skip all that stuff. Older men, quit being so sober and put their shorts on and pop those ear, you know, all these sorts of things. Young men, don't worry about any pattern of good works. That's in there. Besides, you're not accountable to anything until you're 19, 20, right? Well, that's what it was in the desert anyway. Tired of suffering reproach and back off any sort of living God concept. People say, where's God in my life? Why did he let this happen? Well, why did you create it to happen? All sorts of things on that thing. Seducing spirits, go ahead, ladies, put the air behind the mouth again. Go ahead, ladies, dress like the world again. It's just an American culture thing anyway. God doesn't care. Forget that shamefacedness. That's just a scriptural thing. That's nothing to worry about today. So these aren't true. This is what you have to do to become a Demas follower. People don't want a quiet life, a life that is quiet and peaceable in all godliness and honesty. Those are the two strengths in godliness and honesty. We're having company with people we're not supposed to have company with. The Demas follower will have some great time with some worldly people. Go ahead, ladies, get the job. You need the money anyway. And ladies have more wisdom and freedom than us men have, and bodily exercise profiteth much. Right. Well, we know that that's not true. Go ahead, call your neighbor, tell them about a few folks, get into the tattling, busybody stuff. Ladies, you don't have to stay home anyway and pass your children off to somebody else and want a career, skip the being married thing, skip the keepers on, just get yourself some money. Get those jewels and fancy body ornaments hooked up, fix that hair so it looks ugly on purpose, and pay money to have certain, you don't just dye your hair anymore, you just dye certain parts of it. That's a weird thing to me. It looks like a little rainbow up there. Set your affection on things on earth. That's what we talked about this morning. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, is you were bewitched. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath evidently set forth? See, they knew about the risen Savior. They knew about Paul. They know the teachings of the King James Bible. But they don't want it. They choose not to. Now, take your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And why is it a person would be that way? You know, really? That's an amazing thing to me. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Following Demas will not walk worthy of the Lord. Walk worthy of the world. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. No, you won't. You're tired of learning about God. You're tired of learning about the truth. Strengthened with all might. No, you'll be strengthened by your strength, by your flesh, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His own dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, and, having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. And you'd rather go the way of Demas. Why is that? It must be that we forget about what the Lord has done. We just keep thinking of the phrase, risen Savior, which is easy to do when you don't read your Bible. You don't stay up in touch with things that God would have you read and learn. So how we can be so thankless and turn away from this present world? Well, see, you're turning away from Paul. You're not turning away from the Savior. That's in their mind. Because the Savior saved me. And I guess that's all they think He's done and will do. But there's a lot more to that. The only thing is that you've got to learn it through Paul. So when you step away from Paul, his writings, You're stepping to yourself. You're stepping into the gospel Jesus, or you're stepping into the Antichrist Jesus and the another Jesus in Revelation, or first part of Acts, or you're stepping into following Jewish teachings. You're not learning from the risen Savior, Ephesians chapter 4. Why would we do that when Christ did what he did and made it so possible for us to learn about it? I'm sorry, it's through Paul. That's where it has to come from. There's such a stand against Paul. You know, it's an interesting thing. People, they get tired of hearing about Paul. They'll make a harder stand against Paul than they will against the things in the day-to-day life that would be considered worldly. They won't stand against that stuff, but they'll let you know that they're standing against Paul. That's weird how we get these things going. So tonight, let's look at some verses that would be some verses I would show a Demas follower and say, now, what about this? You know, for example, let's look at Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, verse 25. Romans 7, 25. This is where Paul, at the end of his chapter, explains the battle that we all have. And I think this is a lot of the reason people get tired of the fight. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, he says in verse 25. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Okay, so that's the battle we have. We want to do right, but our flesh says no. So when somebody turns to follow Demas and gets away from Paul, they want to stop serving the law of God. They want to stop living the way God would have them live. Now, the law of God, obviously, in this case, can't be the Old Testament law. It can't be the gospel law. It has to be what Paul teaches. Romans 2:16, that's what we'll be judged with. So, what God would teach us, people don't want to do that anymore, so their mind will serve the law of sin as well. Because they can justify it. They can just live up there and live this present world and love this present world. You go to Romans chapter... I think it's Romans chapter 6. Yeah, it's Romans chapter 6. See, when you read Romans chapter 6, you go all the way from 1 to 14, you find out the answer to that question. Shall we continue in sin? No. See, God takes care of that we're no longer in sin. 1 through 14 is about what Christ has done with sin. He's taken care of it. There is no sin. There is no law, so there is no transgression. None of that's imputed. But you go to 15 through 23, then we decide to do wrong. God doesn't make us go to Demas. Paul doesn't make us go to Demas. The risen Savior doesn't force us to go into this present world. He allows it. He won't chastise us for it. And from 15 to 23, that's our choice. Verse 22 says, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness. Well, we don't want to do that. We'd rather go back to this world and enjoy our life more than we are when we follow Paul's teachings. Let's go back and I'm made free from sin, so what's the problem? You're a very unthankful, worthless Christian to think that you can just let Christ do everything he's done for you. You believe in him to get all that stuff and then trash him and start living a life that he's going to have to deal with as our advocate as such. He's paid for all those things. So you're basically, doing that kind of stuff to him by these things you're doing in the world. Demas turns from Paul. You turn from Paul, you're turning from the risen Savior. You don't want to hear about the risen Savior. Look at Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, verse 6. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. Okay, now can you apply this verse to you as a Demas follower? Well, I want to serve the Lord. I'll serve the Lord regarding it unto the Lord. But see, I don't want to serve the Lord. I want to follow Demas. I want to follow this world. Can you follow this world and love this present world and do it for the Lord? Come on, think about it. I'm not going to serve the Lord, but I'm going to do it for his glory. That's crazy. So, he that regardeth the day regardeth unto the Lord. He that regardeth not the day. He that wants to serve the Lord regardeth the Lord. He that does not want to serve the Lord, can he do it regarding the Lord? Do it for his glory? No. You follow Demas, and your testimony falls apart. Something you do something within your home or house or, or neighbor or church or workplace or on the street public wise, that's a wrong thing. That's taking glory away from God. It probably puts the glory in somebody who's watching you do it because they knew you wouldn't do it. There goes God's glory. How many people even care about God's glory anymore? They're just worried about their comfortability. They're just worried, they're just concerned about that their testimony as a Christian isn't all that much of a battle. You'll fight for some things, but you won't fight for others. Why is that? Does it bother you when somebody is happy that they saw you stumble? Is it okay for somebody to think, see, I knew you wouldn't do that. I knew you wouldn't fight that hard for it. Even though those people push you and push you and push you, that's Jeremiah. They'll push you to find you halting. They'll push you and push you and push you. And as soon as you finally give in, they say, see, you weren't serious. Well, yeah, but you weren't serious trying to push me, trying to make me stumble. And you call yourself a Paul Christian. What's with that? Demas seems to be the hero today. Let's just go back to this present world. Let's ladies go out there and get the job and get the dress stuff away. That's not even modern today. That's just the way it is. That's still a weird thing how ladies can dress like men, but men still can't dress like ladies. Not that I'm saying I want to dress like a lady. But anyway. Romans 14:6, did we talk about that one? Yeah, we did. Okay, let's go here to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We've got grace. We've got God's long suffering and patience. Of course we do. But you can only, you know, our life is still supposed to change to serve Him, to please Him a little bit. People that go backwards, just been frustrating to me a lot lately. There's a lot of them. How many of us out here on their website tonight have even considered tossing the cake into the oven and just let it burn? Don't worry about it anymore. You want to be in the kitchen anymore. You don't want to wear this anymore. You don't want to fight this battle anymore. Your music. You can't hardly go any place without hearing bad music. You can hardly go any place to buy any clothes. You can hardly do anything. It's getting really bad. So is the world going to win? Are your parents going to win? Is your pastor going to win by teaching false things and expecting false things, forcing false things out of you? How can you handle it alone? How are you handling things alone? Most of us are becoming more and more alone as this thing progresses. Have you noticed that? Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Okay, so these people that have the grace of God. Okay, I thank my God always on your behalf. I'm glad that you've got grace. Living the way you are. I'll thank God for the grace that He has for you. I thank God for the grace He has for me. But I guess we can thank God for the grace on your behalf, on their behalf, that they've gone the way they've gone. They still got God's grace. If they ever had it in the first place. That's still a concern. Paul has shown me many times that it's very possible that some people that seem to turn away from Paul or risen Savior never had the risen Savior in the first place. That's a very serious possibility. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians 5. No, 1 Corinthians 15. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we have the one victory. If you're saved, then your soul's been taken care of. That's a huge victory. Do you not want any more victories? Are you happy with that one? Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. Then he goes right on to verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, therefore, we got that victory. Therefore, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Well, that's following Paul. That's how you dress. That's what you say. That's where you go. That's where you don't go. There are things that Paul teaches that we should look to as a Christian. Like I said this morning, Paul's tough. Paul's got grace, but he's also very tough. Why is it so tough? We have such a powerful power in this world. So, sure, we've got the victory, but because we have that victory, we have no excuse to go flying off to Demas. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. In the Lord. You fight in that battle. You may think you lost that battle, but it was not fought in vain. And all I can say is, you please God, and it'll come out in the judgment seat, which the rewards of that are eternal. We tend to forget that, don't we? That's because they're setting their affection on things on this earth, not so much on the things above. And above is the judgment seat, eternity, past this earthly life. When you're young, that moment is a long ways away. When you're 50 and 60, turning 60, which I am, and people are 70 and 80 and 90, that judgment seat's a lot closer. Let's look at the 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. Every place we go, we should be able to have, we are triumphing in Christ. Does our walk show that? Does our walk show that we're a loser? We don't want victory in our day-to-day life? We don't want to have some triumph in our day-to-day life? Are you satisfied? Maybe you just have one. Well, how much of your triumph and victory have you let slip over the last couple of years? What are you doing now that you wouldn't have done a year ago? Because you tried to make a stand. It's tough, isn't it? It's tough for everybody. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause? The abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of the Lord. So for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Do you get renewed every morning, every day? Do you stand up and get out of that bed in the morning ready to stand for truth again? Or do you lay in bed and think, I don't want to get up, the battle is just wearing me down. And it is. Antichrist will wear us down, he says there in Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 7, I think it is. And Paul calls it light affliction, verse 17. Well, Paul's never had to deal with my parents. Paul's never had to deal with a pastor that's like he is. Paul's never had to, oh yes, he has. Paul's dealt with everybody. And he's paid the price for it. He was the first one to talk about resurrection of the dead. That's pretty radical, don't you think? Now people believe it all the time. They think, well, yeah, when you die, you go to be with heaven to be with God because you're a good person. Yeah, not a very good person, but good enough. Toss out of a King James Bible, and they go, well, that's pushing it. That's a strange belief. Well, why? So we have light affliction. It's tough to end up living alone. It's tough to be the only one in your family that wants to do Paul. It's tough to live in this world, and it's tough to be in this world, but why would you go to work, ladies? That's not even your curse. Why would you want to stay home, men? That's not your curse. That's not your design. The whole thing goes on. And as far as Paul's concerned, it's all just light affliction. Let's go back to Romans chapter 1. We're just looking at verses tonight that will tell us something about those that are choosing to go back to Demas. They're going back to the world because they love this present world instead of looking to Paul and the risen Savior's teachings and changing their lives and fighting the battles that need to be fought. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. That's a dangerous position to be into. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professed themselves to be wise, they became fools. Here's the trail that a Demas follower will go. They'll forget that God is the living God. They'll forget that He was alive in their life. And their imagination will come up with these things. They'll follow fables and things like that. Their heart will be darkened. They'll think they're doing great. They'll think they're being very wise. Yet they become fools. Isn't that sad? And then keep reading. That's what can happen to them. They can really crumble. Now they can't lose their salvation. We know that. The chastisement of God will not be there. Romans chapter 2, that's the goodness of God. He lets us make our mistakes. We'll pay for it at the judgment seat. But He doesn't chastise. Doesn't chastise the lost people either. None of these things that are happening in America are God's judgment. How can you say that? Romans chapter 2. That's how I say that. Verse 4 and 5. So the same thing for a Christian. He lets us do these things. He allows it. It shames him. You want to go back to the world, he won't stop you. But there's some dangerous things you're headed towards. You think you're going to be wise, you're really a fool. Did you know God? You're not going to don't glorify Him as God. Why not? Never learned anything about this living God, have you? Never got into your book. You heard the preaching, but you never read for it yourself, did you? You never looked into that book for yourself. As a result, when things got rough, you just couldn't take it any longer. Or maybe you can't throw out the past teachings, the religion you had. It's hard to unlearn something. Well, let's look here at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin. Is this why you think you can go back to Demas and go back to the world? Because, you know, you're made free from sin now. Let's go back and let's have a good time. Do you realize that the reason that it looks like God isn't chastising you is because He's not going to? We talked about that. Sometimes we kind of put our finger into the water, want to see if it's hot or not. What if we didn't have any feeling? Our nerves were... Some people are that way. They have no feeling. They don't know when they're being burnt. They put their hand in water. They don't know if it's cold water, hot water, whatever. They don't realize until they look down at their hand burnt. They have no heart, no nerves. In that case, a Christian that has no heart, does he not even know when he's being burnt? If he did, he'd know when to stop. But see, God doesn't do that. He allows it. He gives us a Bible that'll chastise us. He'll give us a Bible that'll correct us, rebuke us, reprove us. He's trying to give us a preacher that'll reprove and correct you as well, using the Bible, of course, not his own opinion. But most people don't want that. They can't endure sound doctrine. So they go to Demas. Let's look here at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at some more verses here that kind of help us deal with the Demas following movement, I guess you might want to call it. People get tired of Paul, they look to Demas. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's go to verse 27. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. Okay. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Is that what you're capable of doing when you go out into the world? It says right there that if they offer you, that world offers you something that is not right. It's a religious idol. It's a wrong thing based on the Scripture for the risen Savior. Then he says, you know, we're not supposed to partake of it. And he talks about for conscience' sake, but not yours, that person that offered it, or those people. So see, when we go back to follow Demas, we don't just have blanket approval to do anything the world does. Paul tells us right there that some of those, there's things out there in that world that we're not supposed to do. We have the grace to do so. We know that by the spirit of liberty, but we still shouldn't. Do it for God's glory. So can you go back to the world for God's glory? No. Can you lose a battle within your home or within your church, within your workplace, within your friends and neighbors and relatives and choose not to fight a battle and give God glory? No. It might make the situation easier, but it's robbing God of His glory. Do we care? I believe we do. You wouldn't be here tonight if we didn't care about God getting the right glory with your walk. I'm not trying to be hard on anybody. This is what the Bible says, and we're all taking some hits. We're all taking some direction. We all get guidance on this thing. I don't think there's ever a time I've ever just preached to everybody out there. It's always, I'm right there. Okay, hope that makes sense to you. Let's go down here. Let's go a little further here. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We've got a few more minutes here. 2 Corinthians 8. Do you know any Demas followers? People that did follow Paul, did learn about Paul, and then back off on their modesty, back off on their mouth, back off on their stands they took at first. You see people changing that are Paul-following people, supposedly? They get more into the world? I can name you a list a mile long. I'm not being judgmental, it's just their testimony now. They're telling the lost people out there, come to this church, come to me, let's be friends. Because I won't be quite so as hard as I was. I'll back off. I'm not going to bother you. And you're the one that's changing. They're not. They look at you like a hypocrite. I thought you believed that you didn't supposed to wear this or do this or go there. Well, I can now. Oh, you can. So God is okay with that? They don't understand. They don't understand the liberty in Christ. They don't understand how you can go back and follow Demas and not lose your salvation, not get chastised by God. Then they figure whatever you're living is not right anyway. Because if you can take a stand on what this is and then now take a stand, not take a stand towards that thing, and they figure God's okay with that, they don't know anything about this stuff. Your testimony is terrible. It's confusing to people. No wonder the townspeople don't want to come to your church. No wonder townspeople don't want you to have you over. No wonder your relatives think you're nuts and don't want to talk to you. It doesn't seem real to you. You haven't stood to the end. You've got modesty, you've got mouth, you've got job, you've got... how far can you fight? Is it real? Or do we look to God's grace and hide behind it and crash and let God's grace take care of us? And you know, and I'm really not even talking about the flesh things that we have within ourselves. I'm just talking about the outward appearance of living the day-to-day, the manner of life. What people see on the outside. We've all got our issues. We've all still got sin in our flesh and our bodies. It's still there. Our thoughts are still there. Things we see, places we go, all that stuff is still there. And it won't go away. We're not in the tribulation. We don't have to walk that holy walk to be holy. He wants us to walk that holy walk because He's made us holy. How tough is the enemy that you're standing up against? Maybe not as tough as you think. Maybe they're just testing you. Stand strong. Don't go places you ought to go as a lady. Don't go places you ought not go as a man. Step up to the plate. I always hate sports cliches, but that's a good one. Step up to the plate. Let him pitch you the ball. Knock it out of the park if you can. Bunt. Hit it. Swing. Have we 2 Corinthians 8:16? I think that's where we are. Okay, here we go. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. You know, most of the stuff I talked about this morning is just doing the opposite of what Titus says in chapter 2. And it says right here that Titus cares. Titus cares to write that stuff. Or the stuff Paul wrote to Titus. But the stuff that's in the book of Titus, that Titus cared. He went to these people, and that's the stuff that those people should be doing. And he cares. It's just not a list of things to do and not do to make you miserable. Titus had that earnest care from his heart. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Just over a little ways there. Philippians chapter 1. Hope you're turning your pages, not just listening here. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. That sounds good. So you thank God for these people that have gone back to Demas? Well, let's keep reading here a little bit. I think we're going to start seeing some more strings. Remember, we have strings to the liberating Christ. All things are lawful, but not everything is expedient. It has to edify, not to cause flesh, you catering for the flesh, and cause somebody else to stumble, and have a power over you. Strings attached. I thank God upon every remembrance of you. Always in prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Okay, so these people that have gone against God and gone against Paul and are going back to Demas, yeah, they've got the grace of Christ with them. So thank God for that. But let's keep looking. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, where have you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. Wait a minute, that doesn't sound like a Paul following Christian. You're talking about a Demas follower. They don't have that faith anymore. They don't have that love for everybody. They don't have that hope. They're tired of it. They don't want that good fruit. So how is that? Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Okay, here's how you pray for these people. Well, they don't want any of that. But that's how you pray for them. That's still what you do. Because they don't want it. They've publicly refused it by going back to Demas, the love in this present world. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. But they don't have that anymore. They're rejecting that. They can say they have it, and they do because Christ has given everything to them like that, but they're living unthankful. They're rejecting it now. Is Paul just another segment of the Bible as you try to apply the whole Bible in your life? You've got a religion. Truth mixed with false teachings, if applied to today, is just religion. I've had people tell me they want religion. I don't want religion. I just want the truth. I want it to, my life should be the way it should be, to preach it and teach it and live it in a manner that would please Him as best as I can, with my flesh still being alive. He's cut me from it. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 20. I'm sorry, Ephesians chapter 5. How many caught that one? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Demas, people, you're very thankful here that you've still got God's grace and all these things. But it says here in the next verse, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, husband, church, verse 24, 25, 26, 27. That's still God's plan. You reject that. You'll go against that when you go the way of Demas. Look at Philippians chapter 4. You want to go the way of Demas? Do you still, in verse 6, is that a good verse for you still or not? It says, be careful for nothing. Well, that's don't worry about anything. That's pretty tough. But you pray about it. Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving that your requests be made known unto God. Do you do that? Most Demas followers I know of just kind of bag the whole thing. Quit reading their Bible. Or if they do, they read it wrongly, dividingly. Or they quit praying, or they pray selfishly, or they, you know, whatever. But I would think that if they don't know anything about God and they're unknown about this God, the real truth, then they can't say it, be careful for nothing. Boy, can we even say be careful for nothing? Look at the next week. Look at the next month you have planned. Look at what's planned for you next couple months. And we're not supposed to worry about that? Well, no, we're supposed to pray about it real hard. And then when God shows you what to do about it, then you do something about it. God's going to show us a way out. That's pretty easy to preach, but is it easy to live? Well, we'll see. We've all got a month or two or three coming up here. Summer's coming along. It's going to get hot. Swimming. Places to go. Things to do. Are they going to be the right things? Are you going to go the way of Demas for a day or two? How about going the way of Demas for just a couple hours? Is it worth the fight to not go the way of Demas? It's hard. I'm not saying it's easy for anybody. I'm not going that way. Please don't put that kind of a thought in my mind here. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing. Can you, as a Demas follower? Colossians chapter 1. Look at that. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Give thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of his inheritance of the saints in light. who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption. Isn't that good that you still have that Demas follower? You've got to be thankful for that, like we read earlier this evening. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. Verse 6, the so in verse 6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. See, a Demas follower is not walking in Christ anymore. He's walking in the way of the world. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Well, maybe these people that are going the way of Demas really haven't grasped Paul yet. They haven't grasped the gospel that Paul teaches. They haven't gotten a grip on rightly dividing yet, which amazes me, but there's a lot of people that don't. They're not here tonight. They're not here ever anymore. What's with that? They must not have been rooted and built up in him, weren't established in the faith. What's faith? His faith. But you're still in. Maybe you just haven't been taught. How about Ephesians chapter 4 along the same line where it says there that you don't want to go the way of a Gentile in the vanity of your own mind. Your understanding is darkened, alienated from the life of God through ignorance. Your heart is blind. You don't care anymore. You're past feeling into the flesh stuff. But it says in verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, would you be willing to admit, you Demas followers, that you really haven't been taught by Christ? Christ would not teach you to go back to Demas, to go back to this present world. He wouldn't teach you that. Christ isn't the one that taught you that now that you're spiritually circumcised, he wouldn't teach you to go ahead and go back to the world now. He wouldn't teach you that. He wouldn't teach you that Demas is a good guy to look to. I know you folks don't look to Demas, but you ought to because that's what you're acting like. You reject Paul's teachings. And your life doesn't change. Or you go back the way life was. Modesty. Mouth. Leadership. Men. Wisdom. Decisions. Being sober. Being serious about things. All the things Titus teaches in chapter 2. You want to go back that way? That's not the way Christ would have us go. Demas isn't the one to follow. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Almost done. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Again. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Everybody still there? Yep, you're still out there. Hope you're not sleeping out there. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. See, what follows that not walking in Christ, look at verse 8. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Well, if there's anybody susceptible to follow these new modern psychology Bible books, to follow these new modern teachings in the churches that you want to go to because you're tired of not having church, this philosophy that's floating around in Christianity today with the tapes and the music, it'll spoil you. Doesn't mean make you have everything so good. It spoils you. It's like spoiled meat. It stinks. After tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. See, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of that Godhead bodily, not in the world. Now look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Do you have the peace of God? Following Demas? Do you have the peace of God going off to this world? Ladies, do you have the peace of God in the workplace? I know some of you still have to do it, but it must be a struggle. That isn't God's design. That's not your... Why are you taking your curse? Because, well, there's situations you have to. That's too bad. And I'm sorry. I wish it could be differently. Are you in a position to prevent that? Do the best you can. But that won't be the peace of God. Other than the fact that you're out there, you still have His grace. But if you make this your choice, and you're doing this on purpose, to make that extra money, to make the stuff you want to have, then you need to be reminded that you're using God. You're abusing His grace by choice. Or somebody's making you, that's a false thing. That's too bad. Fight for these things. Fight for what's right. Peace of God. And look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Okay? Everything you do is what you're doing, going back to this present world, going against God's design. Can you thank God for that? You can thank God for the grace you've got, His long-suffering, His patience, for His book that He's given to you. It's a horrible world we're living in. Why do you want to go back that way? They'll burn you. I know Christians have burnt you too. God hasn't burnt you. Your Bible hasn't burnt you. Your preacher probably has. Some of it you probably needed. Some of it maybe not. But you've got a Bible. You've got God. You've got the Lord. You've got Paul to learn from. Look at verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Do you do the music in your church or privately yourself for teaching and admonishing? Or do you just want the music to be something you enjoy singing? Are you willing to have those words teach you something? Are you willing to have those words in your singing admonish you? Do we even recognize admonishment in our singing anymore? Or are we looking to the music? Just some things. Demas followers aren't willing to be taught or admonished anymore. So they go to the music that doesn't teach them anything but lies, and they go to the music that doesn't admonish them at all. Makes them feel good. Makes their flesh feel good. Makes their mind feel good. Nobody rebukes or reproves them in the modern Christianity today at all. I'm very disturbed and very disgusted over people that are Paul-following Christians who have gone back and they go to the way of modern Christian music. That's a real dangerous thing because it's leading people into the Antichrist. Maybe you don't have the real Savior. Maybe you have another Jesus. Maybe that's what you've had all along. You don't suppose the devil would bless your life to make you think that you're getting God's blessings when the Scriptures say He doesn't do that. God doesn't do that. But you don't care about what the Scriptures say. You know the blessings you've received. Could they be from the devil as good as they are? If it keeps you from trusting in the real Jesus, sure you would. What does he care? The devil could bless us our whole life, keep us out of this book, to find out the real truth about the real Savior. That's a scary thought. But I know a lot of people, when they back off on Paul, either their music has already changed them, or they go right into this modern Christian music. Get on Facebook. Look at the music people are putting on their Facebook now. It hurts. It hurts parents. It hurts friends that you know that they weren't that way at one time. Why are they going the way? Why are people going back to Demas? Why do they love this present world? Well, there's no opposition. There's no fight. There's no truth either. But who wants truth? The Bible says it won't endure sound doctrine. So that's where it's headed. Don't go that way. Folks are going to listen to this message. Don't go that way. You Facebookers out there, you two Facebookers. That's nothing but a bunch of busybodiness going on. Look at all the different things people say that they talk about that they've done. Do you know it wasn't maybe 10 years ago that when your family was gone or you had some friends that you'd write to them once a month and you would not hear all the details of their life, just general things? You know, we know so much detail about everybody's lives today because of computer and all these things. When's the last time you wrote a letter, a regular postal letter that kind of summarized your month and said, how are you, and you talked about them? We know what kind of flavor people drink in their tea in the morning for breakfast. We know whether they even got up on time. We know their favorite movies, which is a terrible thing too, by the way. The movies our Christians are watching today. What do you watch at home? You want to tell everybody about it? It's amazing what's going on today. This Demas is getting himself a huge following. Let's finish up here with 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at verse 13. This is probably the saddest thing. One of the saddest things, I suppose. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when ye receive the word of God, which ye have heard of us, ye receive it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. I tend to think that the Demas followers never did believe that Bible to be the Word of God. Because somehow God just didn't help them out in their life. This magic Jesus didn't kick his magic in for them. And they think this Bible is just a book of men, written by men. When you heard of us, you received it not as the Word of God, men, but as it is in the truth, the Word of God. Do you believe this Bible to be the Word of God? Do you believe rightly dividing? Then stay with Paul. Don't go off as Demas, even if it's just for a few minutes. The more time you spend in this present world, living the way they are, dressing the way they are, justifying it the way we are so good at doing. We can justify our immodesty for an hour. We can justify places we go. We shouldn't go there. That would eliminate the modesty issue. That would eliminate the lady flirt with men and all that kind of stuff. If you don't go off to the workplace, that isn't where God wants you. He wants you at home. Why is that? For your children. How about what does God want out of a man? Read Titus chapter 2. That's what he wants out of a man. Read 1 Timothy chapter 2. Read 1 Timothy chapter 5 for the ladies and the men. Being cast aside after Satan, that's pretty wicked. Blaspheming the Word of God, that's pretty tough. Those are hard things to say that you're doing. The Bible will tell you that. Justify it all you want. You're blaspheming the Word of God. That's terrible. Following Demas? That's still blasphemy. Aren't you glad that God's grace is what God's grace is? I hope you all don't turn towards Demas. We all have some form or another. Think about it during the week this week. When are you following Demas? And when are you following Paul? Just think about it as the weeks go on. You'll recognize times you love this present world more than you should. You'll recognize times when you let a battle go unfought. And people look at you and think, you're not really the Christian you say you are. Do you care what other people think? No, not necessarily, but it does take away glory from God. Because you've tried to do right. You've tried to make your stands. And people that actually you love are trying to trip you up. Just remember that. It's worth fighting. Paul calls it light affliction. These are hard days. So, there you have. For the Demas followers today, you better be really thankful because God doesn't put the hammer down on you. I hope you come back to Paul's teaching someday, but from what I've seen so far, most of them don't. They're too happy in this present world. Ladies, once you get that job and career, you can't quit. Why a father wants to do that to the young girls and then tell them to quit when they get married, that's not scriptural. I don't believe that's wisdom at all. Men, you boys, you're taught to be the feministic type of a boy. That's going to backfire when you get older. Parents, where's your stand on what's right? Not what keeps everybody together. Remember, Jesus even said, not even the kin will give you honor. Nobody wants to hear this stuff. You do. You're here. You do. Now, look at your walk and see if you can't stand strong on Paul's teachings this week. One day at a time. And thanks for being here tonight. I know you're not here for me, but it's still good encouraging for me to see you here. Battles are everywhere. Let me tell you that. Battles are everywhere. And we'll see you Wednesday night. Keep in touch. And we'll see you later.